Welcome to Front Porch Theology. I am your host, J.D. Berry. Today we discuss the unexplainable, what lurks in our skies, in the darkness, in the depths of our seas. Has man had a glimpse of the unseen realm? Have angels and demons visited mankind? If so, what are the implications? To help discuss this and more, is our resident expert in unnatural phenomena in the unexplainable, Will Basham.
Hello, sir.
Hello, Will.
All right, you gotta drop the voice. I can't do a whole podcast episode with that guy.
Well, hate to tell you, this is...
You're listening to Front Porch Theology, a podcast of New Heights Church. We laugh, we argue, we carry on. So welcome to our front porch. Have a seat and let's get into it.
Oh, hey. Jeremy's here too.
Hey, I'm absolutely here. Thank you so much, JD.
Good to see you.
It's good to see you guys. I'm going to step out. I have to go. Good luck.
All right, so today we have a great topic today. By the way, if you don't know, Heather is not here.
Heather, if you're listening to this.
She's not.
Okay, well, we miss you, Heather.
That is a feeling that exists.
She's been gone a lot lately. Yeah. Like she's not really committed to this
show. Oh,
Mrs. Busy
can't make herself down here today. Yeah. Okay. We'll just get a docker pay. Okay?
She got a lot going on.
Uh-huh. All right. So, no, she has the sickies.
Is her stomach hurting?
Her belly hurts.
Listen, let me begin the show by saying that I typically don't listen to our podcast.
Yeah.
And apparently you guys talked a lot about my belly issues.
Whoa, boundaries.
That are non-existent. Yeah.
On the boundaries. That are non-existent?
Yeah. My belly's fine.
Okay.
I mean, sure. Sometimes I use the bathroom at work. That's a normal thing.
Yeah.
And I had my gallbladder taken out.
Using the bathroom is normal.
I had some complications a year ago. Anyway, so you guys like talked about, you know, my personal stuff on the podcast, which is very rude. And so
it's not personal when it enters everybody's nostrils. Then it becomes public.
I had a boundary and I was on a staycation. And it was very good that thank you, New Heights pastors, for making me take some time off. It was really healthy for me. But
and
I
us.
Come back, and like everywhere I go in the church building has like Pepto-Bismol and Gas-X and like
a little poopery.
Poopery in the bathroom.
You got some air spray.
I got all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
So everyone that bought me things, thank you. I have plenty.
Actually, hold on.
Anything else?
I want to say on behalf of the staff, thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
All right. So today we're dealing with.
So I did listen to the last episode because I had to figure out why everyone was buying me stuff.
So something scarier than what lurks from the bathroom is. This actually stemmed from a question, and it was by Christy. She says, hey, what's the chances these Nephilim that they're. These Neanderthal, that they're probably Nephilim. What'd you think? So she wants to know, are the Neanderthals Nephilim?
I don't know.
All right. Well, thank you for listening. You don't know. You're supposed to be the expert. The unexplainable.
Listen, JD introduced me as the expert. I don't know why he did that. No, I'm not the expert.
I thought you were.
So let's kick it off with this question.
Yeah.
I think this will lead to some other things. So the Nephilim. Let's give a little bit of background on Nephilim. Nephilim is a Hebrew word. Not entirely sure exactly what it means. It's clear from the etymology. It means great or giant in stature.
So it's Genesis.
Genesis 6. Yeah, so there is an account in Genesis 6 before God sends the great flood that the sons of God married and had sexual relations with the daughters of men.
Uh-oh.
And their offspring were Nephilim, men of renown, these giant men. And so there's lots of different interpretations. The Bible doesn't give us a real clear answer on what's going on there.
All right, so today what I want to do is I'm going to give a position, or one I want to explore the position that I actually don't hold to.
Okay.
And I want to talk about its ramifications as if it were true, and maybe some cool theories that come out of this if it is true. So the reason I don't, well, okay, let's, so now everyone knows my cards are on the table, but as if this were true, so the Son of Men. Sons of God, rather.
Sons of God.
Sons of God is almost always, always angels. Correct or incorrect?
Correct, but not always.
Not, I said almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not always.
Almost always angels.
Yeah.
Okay, so when Scripture talks about the sons of God, these are, with a very few exceptions dealing with, and maybe this is one of the exceptions, but if it's one, if it's not, then it's this is angels who both married... Mm-hmm. Had sex mm-hmm. with the daughters of men.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this would flip what we think on its head. Now, Jesus is asked about angels and marriage, and what does he say?
Yeah, so I think the complicated thing of that view, and this is one of the main reasons I don't hold that view, is because Jesus says when he's asked about, really the question is about in heaven, if you've had multiple spouses, who you're going to be married to in heaven, and Jesus says in eternity we will be as the angels who neither marry nor are given in marriage. And so Jesus seems to indicate that angels as spiritual beings not only don't marry, but I think the implication of that is they don't engage in sexual relationships either.
Yeah, so there's this idea that they don't engage in, at least from there. But demons, fallen angels,
yeah,
don't care if what the rules are about marriage. And so maybe they like people. We're not supposed to have sex outside of marriage, but people do all the time. Maybe angels do that. They do what they're not supposed to do. They fall from the position that they were to hold and from the law that was over them. They fall from that, hence the idea of fallen angels.
Yeah, so and so that in that theory, Nephilim are half human, half demonic, half demon.
Yeah.
And so the theory I would hold to, and the interpretation that I believe, is that the sons of God represents the godly line of Seth, mm-hmm. and the daughters of men refer to daughters of the world, of an ungodly line descending from Cain. And I think what's being demonstrated there is that when you marry outside of the plans of God, that it has disastrous effects. Now, I do believe there's something demonic going on because it's referenced in the book of Jude, some other places. There's some demonic activity that's happening in the days of Noah. That's very clear. So I think there's demonic influence happening. Sure. that may or may not lead to their offspring being giant, and that word Nephilim being used to describe their offspring. Nevertheless, there were giants. I mean, the yeah. Bible talks about Goliath and other giants existing. If they're demon babies, if they're demon babies, then there's this like weird half breed that God seemingly takes care of with the flood. But then that word is used to describe them in Joshua when they show back up in the land of Canaan. Yeah. There's Nephilim there.
So
again.
Okay, so I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Of course you are, but the devil needs no advocate, Jeremy.
Well, then why did God let demon babies exist? All right, so here's what I'm going to argue back again. I agree with your position, but for the sake of entertainment and to be a pest, I'm going to disagree with you.
Yeah,
I'm going to say, okay, well, God didn't flood the earth because of the Nephilim.
Sure.
And hear me out. When they're seen in Jericho, there are angels, there are demons that exist after the flood.
Mm-hmm.
There are humans that exist after the flood. If they could have sex before, they could have sex after. And again, the demons, that's he flooded the earth because of the sin that he saw.
Yeah.
And so not now that
not
may
because
be
the
height
Nephilim,
of it,
but really yeah. because of the actions of the sons of God,
or the daughters
that may be,
or the daughters of men, right. The daughters of men. Yes. Right? Just there was no one good, right?
Yeah.
And so he floods, saves Noah's family. Obviously, the reason why he does this is he's foreshadowing a greater salvation that's to come and a greater judgment that's to come. The idea is there's angels and wicked men after. That there could be sexual relations between the two if mm-hmm. angels can have sex.
Mm-hmm.
Angels appear as men.
Yeah.
We don't see angelic women.
Yeah, and I think angels
except
even
for my wife.
But I think angels even have a physical stature of some sort. They seem to be physical. Now, when I say I believe they have some kind of physical being, it's not so they can have sex. That doesn't seem to be the narrative of scripture, but like you in the narrative of Sodom and Gomorrah, there are mm-hmm. angels of the Lord that are having seemingly physical interactions. And you know, some people would say it's spiritual. They're not matter.
Yeah.
But it seems like they are.
Sure.
I really don't have a problem with angels taking on some kind of physical space because God's beyond the laws of matter and sure. science and all those right. things.
So we have angelic beings, or we'll call them demonic beings, right? Having potentially, if they had sex with and made other Nephilim, other giants. So Nephilim, not just giants as like, don't think of like Lord of the Rings giants.
Yeah, yeah. So I think like Goliath. I mean, Goliath's.
It could be Goliath. I think it
Goliath's
could be,
a little over 9 feet tall.
I think it could be
according
even
to the measurements listed in scripture.
All right. So when we look at, and again, I'm
like the Guinness Book of World Records. The guy's like 8'10" or 8'11". Yeah. Like he's as tall as Goliath. So it's like right. it's not impossible.
Well, but, average height then is probably 5'2", 5'3".
What you mean in biblical time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would probably lack nutrition. Not because of anything else.
Yeah, I mean, back then they might call the Bashams Nephilim.
Although you are definitely a Nephilim. and a Neanderthal at that. So
I am very Neanderthal-like in many ways.
Yeah, so kind of go back in. So what we have is, now I want to present a particular theory, that Nephilim are simply this hybrid. Nephilim are recorded throughout all history, not just before the flood, but after the flood, just like they're spotted in Jericho. When we hear tales, and we got to chalk them up as silly, but we hear this idea of lowercase g gods mm-hmm. having sex with women
yeah.
and producing half God, half man.
Mm-hmm.
We'll call that a counterfeit Jesus.
Yeah.
Man of great strength and renown, very similar to the Nephilim.
Like Hercules,
let's say.
Yeah.
And so you have these mythical beings that are Nephilaic.
That's a good word.
Thank you. I'll pause so I could be appreciated for it. But that are men of renown, giant in strength, giant in stature, that are doing incredible things that come from deity. Now, I don't think these are, let's say, gods, or if I held to this position.
Demigods.
Yeah, or the gods, that, like the Zeus and the Poseidon. They're just demons.
Right.
But here's the thing. Is there any scripture, Will, to support my theory that says that nations were given over to, like, demonic yeah. authority? What?
Yeah, there was.
There's scripture that says
yeah.
that nations were given over to demons?
Yeah. So
you have to tell me this.
It's in Exodus, I believe it's chapter 32.
I think you're right.
In Exodus 32, I want to just read it. Do you happen to know the verse?
It's 32.
It's 32.
Chapter. The verse is under 32. I memorized the chapter. I don't memorize the verses.
Yeah.
Start at the top.
Or is it? It's actually 34.
How about this? While you're looking that up, I'm going to give you another piece of mine. My great evidence.
Okay.
So when we talk about the seraphim, mm-hmm. ooh, my belly's rumbling.
My belly hurts. Oh!
So we have. we think of like the Egyptians, right? The Egyptians who, what did their gods look like? Half eagles, half
yeah.
mm-hmm. lions, half these weird creatures. Are there angelic beings that look like that? Wait a minute. The cherubim and the seraphim, which means snake, right? The same word that's used in Genesis when describing the serpent that deceives Adam and Eve. So we have these angelic creatures, cherubim and cherubim and the other one.
Seraphim.
Seraphim, thank you. That are these angel things. Now, again, if there was
seraphim
a verse.
Seraphim is described serpent-like,
yeah.
which is a description of Lucifer, or Satan.
Yeah, a high angel,
yeah,
like the
right.
seraphim are.
Yeah.
Only if there were something, a nation that maybe had demonic-looking gods or these seraphim cherubim looking gods that were over the nations.
Yeah, so I think you're onto something there. I think you can agree with those things without going full demon baby. Never go full demon baby.
Yeah, that's what our doctor told Julie and I.
Yeah, exactly. So like the belief of Nephilim being half demon, half human is a valid belief. I think you can arrive at that scripturally.
It's an orthodox belief.
Yeah, I see where they're coming from. That's just not what I hold. Yeah, but I think what we should acknowledge is the reality of demonic activity and how prevalent it is, and we tend to ignore it. So we were wrong. Did we say Exodus 32?
We said whatever was the right answer.
It was wrong. It says Deuteronomy 32.
That's Deuteronomy 32. That's what I said.
Yeah, okay.
Go back and
I found the verse, though. Deuteronomy 32, verse 8. This is the song of Moses, and it's this verse says, "When the Most High gave to the nations their inheritance, when he divided mankind, he fixed the borders of the peoples according to the number of the sons of God."
What? Wait a minute. Okay, so that obviously he fixed the borders and gave the nations over to the sons of Seth?
Well, so that's the thing, is that's not what happened. The nations were not given to the sons of Seth.
Who were they given to, Will?
They were given to... My interpretation of Deuteronomy 32 is that the sons of God here does refer to demonic activity.
Yeah, right.
So the demons did take the nations to deceive them.
And so we have the idea that the nations are deceived,
mm-hmm.
and when the kingdom comes, the nations are going to be Satan will be bound, and the nations will be reached. It's almost like that happened at some point, but that's a whole different podcast.
Yeah. So I think the implication out of this, though, is that the nations are deceived by false gods.
Yes.
And I think sometimes we take false gods and demons and assume that they can't be the same thing ever.
Ooh.
Some false gods, I think, are just made up. Some false gods are true demonic entities.
Isn't it wild that all of these demonic, weird thing, these what we would call myth and lore, and maybe that's part of the conspiracy, is that we all think that this could never happen. That someone like a Hercules or an Achilles, that could never happen. But isn't it weird that no matter it's Greek, Egyptian, Rome, all of them, they have these weird, almost, well, I don't say almost, evil gods that maybe are demons,
mm-hmm.
have sex with women.
Yeah.
Producing a child who usually leads to some sort of chaos, sows chaos.
Yeah.
And
it's an antichrist.
Right. And I was about to say it's a literally a counterfeit Jesus. It's not fully God, fully man, part God, part man. And it's this, but it's like the evil image. If you have Superman, what's the opposite Superman? You're a big Superman fan. Okay, no, that's not the right answer.
Spider-Man and Venom.
No, it's Spider-Man. No, that's not correct either. It's Superman and, Bizarro.
Never heard of this guy.
It's like the opposite. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Bizarro.
Yeah, Bizarro is the opposite of Superman. All right. If you were a Seinfeld fan, you would know.
Oh, sorry.
So, but yeah, there's this counterfeit image that people put in their hope and their salvation in.
Right.
But a lot of us kind of poo-poo this idea. And so we don't take demons as seriously as maybe we should.
Yeah, and I think the implication, just to take this pragmatic and practical, the implication is I think that a lot of the false religions of modern times are demonic.
Yeah.
I have no problem believing that Allah is not a made up figure, but that he is a demon that has deceived people, or Moroni, who supposedly revealed golden tablets to Joseph Smith and started the cult of Mormonism. Like maybe, and you can't be definitive on it, but maybe that's a real, real thing.
Yeah.
That's a demonic appearance that has deceived people.
It is, and you know, as someone, I like apologetics. That's this idea of defending the faith, right? Using reason, logic, evidence, that sort of thing. So, but when it comes to – one of the biggest pushbacks I get is Jesus is a retelling of Horus or these other religions.
Mm-hmm.
So Satan, knowing the word,
right,
is it any – it's not just – if this theory I'm talking about is not just possible but but right. You know, then yeah. it makes sense that he's going to create these seeds of doubt by bringing forth this, again, these antichrists, these false, these counterfeit Christs.
And just to get back to Christy's question.
Oh, yeah, because we're getting there, Christy.
The Neanderthals are, you know, that can very easily be a seed of doubt in a Christian hermeneutic of creation. Like, what do you believe about creation and this false narrative of atheistic evolution? Now I think species change. I think that's basically proven in some sense. But this macroevolution that we have a single cell organism that turns into us, where Neanderthal man fits into that, I think can be a seed of doubt sown by the enemy. So to get back to like Neanderthals, I think there's great variance in human genetics. And we don't have to be afraid of that. We can acknowledge that there are humans that maybe don't exist today that were created in the image of God that had a different skull shape than me. And scientists may say they were dumber or, you know, were more caveman-like or archaic or whatever it may be. Yeah. But that doesn't mean that they're not humans created in the image of God.
But what's interesting is that, okay, so let's look at the options. I think the biblical options, the most biblical options. If they're Nephilim, right, they might go, well, their DNA is really close to human DNA. That might make sense, right? Because maybe there's something a little bit off.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know the DNA makeup of angels since they're not matter like we are. Yeah. But again, how does sex work with that? That's a whole different conversation. That's on the next one.
No, it's not.
But like you just mentioned, right? The idea of like I'm going to tell you about a fear that I have, and I don't want you to exploit this.
Okay.
All right. I'm serious.
All right.
You have
my word.
Okay.
I won't scare you with your phobia.
It was not a phobia. It's like a self image issue.
Okay.
That I just want to share between you and I.
All right. Only us.
Only us.
We'll keep it between
us. I have a fear and a worry that my head is really small. A pea head, you could call it.
Yeah.
I don't want, like,
I can see that.
I don't. It's a valid fear.
Yeah.
So like, I look like there are people that have pea heads. And there's people that with large noggins.
Yeah, like me.
Okay, so let's take.
I have a Nephilim head.
You have a Nephilim head. They
find Neanderthal someone head.
With a little pea head. Like, their head just doesn't fit. The rest of them is a little smaller. Yeah. But when you look at like different people groups and where they live and how they live, that can affect bone structure. Everything from nutrition to whether it's how you're living, working, all these things can really affect how a skeleton looks. When I think of Neanderthals, I honestly don't see anything but maybe a variable in someone's skeletal system.
Yeah,
that's
I think too.
I would love someone to tell me if I'm wrong. Love someone to tell me if I'm wrong. I did the hand thing, so I had to do the impression. I'm the chosen one. All right, so I don't know. Are there like thousands, millions of these, or whatever there would be? That kind of exist in the same area. It seems like they find like one here or there. It seems like more of like a variable.
Yeah.
Or like an outlier.
It is. I think.
That's what I mean.
Again, I'm not sure. I'm not a scientist.
Why the heck did we have you on here? I thought that's what you were.
But like, you know, the Australian Aborigines, like.
Yeah, that's a perfect.
I think they're, you know.
Pygmies?
Yeah, I think those are kind of like outliers. You know, humans, but their skeletal makeup's different.
Dude, imagine if you found the skeleton. You know, like the people that stretch their neck.
Yeah.
Like imagine if you find that, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're gonna be like, whoa, that's like those people from Star Wars, the clone people, whatever those things are called. You don't know what I'm talking about.
You'd be like,
don't pretend.
I know the Star Wars. But yeah, you find them, you'd be like, this is like a different species.
It's an alien. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Again, I don't know someone who knows more about that, but I tend to think that's what they are. I don't. But when it comes to, let's say, UFOs or Bigfoot, those might be. I don't think they're anything. Well, they could be Nephilim, the UFOs.
Yeah.
They could be.
Yeah, I tend to think
Nephilim. It's government stuff.
Yeah, I just tend to think Nephilim was a word to describe giants.
So why is it that you you think that maybe Nephilim deceived nations long ago, but not today?
No, are we safe? Demons deceive nations.
Okay,
that's the difference in my view.
I think
demons deceived the sons of God.
Yeah.
Convince them to marry the daughters of men, mm-hmm. which resulted in giants, Nephilim.
So you don't think there's any Nephilim today? Even in my theory, I would
tend to think no, but it wouldn't bother me if they were. But I would just think that, I mean, it would just be like Victor Wembanyama, that plays for the San Antonio Spurs. He might be Nephilim. Have you seen him?
I have.
Okay, so like he's from France. He's a phenomenal basketball player. I think if a first century Hebrew person, yeah. well versed in the scriptures, saw Victor Wembanyama, they'd be like, "That dude's Nephilim."
All right.
I just think it was a Hebrew word used to describe giants.
So
that's my interpretation.
The theory that I'm arguing for, if it exists, then let me say this: just maybe it explains the pyramids. Maybe explains the Sphinx. Maybe explains UFOs. Obviously, technology, they had to have some sort of technology to move that limestone hundreds of miles that are 1,000 pounds a piece. That we, like today, like we struggle moving those things, let alone Egyptians all the way back then. Maybe demons had technology then, and maybe, I mean, if there's technology in heaven, we did a whole podcast on this.
We did, yeah.
That maybe little flying saucers, maybe that's how they get around.
Maybe. Yeah, so that interesting stuff. Not the view I hold. I just think there were giants. I mean, anyone who believes scripture believes in Goliath, right? That he was actually literally a giant man. And what's interesting, you see David killed Goliath, and then later in David's life, they go to battle with the Philistines, and there's another giant named Goliath. Did you know that?
There's
another Goliath in the Bible.
Oh.
Like, he shows back up. It's not the same guy.
Maybe it's like a George Foreman thing. He named all of his kids George.
Yeah, he did, yeah. So it's like probably a descendant of Goliath, but there's whole families that genetically, they're big people. Yeah. And then there's another giant. I don't know if his name's mentioned, but he has six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot, and so there's these kind of weird things, but I think they're just outliers of genetic code, and the people of God went up against them. However, you're not crazy if you think there's something demonic going on with these things, because there are hints at that in Scripture that could lead you to believe that's not the view I hold, but I don't think you're crazy. Yeah,
view, I would say it ceased when the nations ceased to be deceived.
Yeah.
Which, if you, there's different positions on when Satan was bound, mm-hmm. but I would have to argue when the moment Satan was bound, this Nephilim activity ceased.
Yeah.
That's what I would have to argue.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we thank you for listening. If you see a Nephilim in your neighborhood, please get a picture and send it to us at frontporchtheology.com. we don't have one of those. So hello.
We don't have a website.
Thank you for listening. Have a great day. Peace be with you.
If you're interested in this topic, Pastor Jeremy is going to be teaching a class at New Heights Church on these theories and more. Classes are going to be May 22nd and 29th. Both of those are Wednesday nights. We'll begin at 6:30 each night, talking about angels, demons, and more.